Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 8 through 15. The Reverend Dr. Tom Baker is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The assigned reading for this Tuesday is 2 Chronicles chapter 28. The men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Certain chiefs also of the men of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechiah the son of Meshilemoth, Yehezekiah the son of Shallum, and Amasa the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives in here, for you propose to bring upon us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who had been mentioned by name rose and took the captives, and with the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord. In chapter 27, the chapter before this of 2 Chronicles, we find out Jotham was king of Judah. There were not very many good kings. The next one that came after him was Hezekiah, about three, four chapters later. In fact, the Lord said that Jotham did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, when he died, his son Ahaz took over as the king. And the Lord says about him, he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. I'll tell you how bad he was. He threw his children into fire. He worshiped other idols. In fact, he felt his enemies were so successful that he said, well, their God, they're helping them to be successful. So here's what he says. "Because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me." There was such unbelief in Judah, those are the southern tribes, that God asked Syria as well as Israel, the northern tribes, to come and attack Judah. So the question for this sermon is, who would disagree, therefore, that the Lord's will have been properly followed by Syria and Israel because they came and they did attack Judah? Well, the Lord wasn't happy. He wasn't happy they followed his will. Well, God sent a prophet named Oded, and he said to the returning soldiers who had these 200,000 plus captives the following, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand, but you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves? Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." God is not upset over the victory against unfaithful Judah. What's he upset over is the rage of the soldiers that conducted that victory. The Hebrew word for rage is best understood as storming indignation. And in a sense, we kind of use that in our own soldiering today. You know, it's one thing to imprison radical Muslims, but it's quite another thing, as some of our soldiers found out, to ridicule their religion while they are in prison or force them to practice belittling behavior. And is it not the American way during the various wars, First World War, Second World War, that enemy soldiers who were captured but were wounded were helped and treated by American nurses? Now, we got to remember that since Israel was fighting against Judah, this was kind of like a civil war, because they were all part of the total understanding of Israel. And what God is saying, you're oppressing the weak in a way that I did not give you permission to do so. So, what did these soldiers do? Well, when they conquered areas of Judah, they stripped the villages, the prisoners were taken as slaves, and their wealth became prey for the soldiers. God was making a point that victors should not think they won because of their righteousness. The reason they won is because of God's wrath against unbelieving Judah. The conquerors are rebuked for the cruelty of their slaughter and treatment of the prisoners. So how did these soldiers respond to hearing the prophet Oded? Verse 15. "And the men who had been mentioned by name rose and took the captives, and with the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their relatives at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria." So this part of the sermon, just put in context what's going on here, because there could be members of the congregation wondering, how did Israel fight against Israel? This doesn't make any sense. So you explain that. But then that's only part of the sermon. The next comes the law and gospel part. How do you apply that to a Christian congregation today in 2019? I believe that 2 Chronicles 28 provides a picture of our God that is not found in any other religion. In every other religion, when the Allahs or whoever their God is angry with their people, those people are destroyed. There is no hope for them. But I would first remind the congregation of the words of Jesus himself from the cross concerning those who had pierced him with thorns, spikes, and spear. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." We also hear similar words from Stephen when he is being stoned. And then the apostles and early Christians will often pray for their persecutors. Now, I heard recently someone was saying that this is really something that we should be aware of in helping out the poor here. And the example he gave kind of bugged me. In fact, you might be able to see some of them from here. There's people who stand on the streets while you drive up and they want money, etc. Reports from newspapers and others, 80% of that money goes to drugs and drinking. I'm not going to stop and give them money. If I see them on the street, I may talk about them. Do you need some comfort? And I've done this when I drive for Uber. tell them where the nearest LCMS church is that they can go to, and then let the pastor and his congregation work out if they really need what they're saying. So we got to be careful in being helpful to the poor, lest we make their situation even worse. But the biblical kernel is simple. We worship the true God, who often uses the law, not only in disciplining Judah, but in disciplining you and me, as do faithful parents. Jesus says, those parents who do not discipline their children hate their children. So the use of the law is very important. But that's not where we're to stop, even in the sermon. Because we need to understand the law needs to be used, as did John the Baptizer, as the forerunner of the gospel. When somebody comes to understand the law properly, they end up realizing, boy, I need somebody to help me through this. I can't do it on my own. And therefore, the gospel talks about a God of mercy and a God of grace that is not found in any other religion in the world. Nowhere. And so, even remember this town, this southern kingdoms of Judah, they were brought back into the fold as a remnant. Judah was restored to being a member of God's family for an eternity. And God did that by taking care of their sin. They were still guilty. A Christian is not less guilty when they are forgiven. You still did the sin. Forgiveness doesn't mean taking away your guilt. What it is taking away your punishment. In other words, when you are forgiven, God no longer holds you accountable for your sin. He holds Jesus accountable, who paid the price for your sin. That's the kind of God I have, sinful me, you have, sinful you. And we can therefore thank him for the waters of baptism that washes away the punishment we should have received. Because we confess it many a Sunday morning, I deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's our understanding of what the law has us do. And then God provides us with a taste of the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament. So that brings us comfort, knowing that we are in Christ, Christ is in us, and every time he disciplines us, it's always an act of love to proceed to the gospel. Amen. We're now going to continue with the singing of hymn 844. And as you sing this, it could have been written on the basis of 2 Chronicles 28, because it reminds us of the God we have and the treatment toward the neighbor we ought to have.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain David McCarthy, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.